إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there's no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there's no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second lecture in our new series, Iman, or Faith in Allah, based upon one chapter from the book A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura, li-i'tiqad al-Ta'ifa al-Naji al-Mansura. مع العلامة الحافظ أحمد ابن علي الحكمي رحمه الله. Last week we had introduction to this class. We discussed a number of points. The most important of them are found in the questions for our study guide from last week. So we'd like to go over just quickly to review some of the points that we covered in brief. In brief, inshallah. So we're going to look at the questions from last week, and if you had a chance to write them out, it's better, or at least if you have a good idea of the answer to the question, then let's try to go through it as quickly as possible. The first question was discuss briefly the importance of the subject of al-aqidah. Naam, ya Ibrahim.
Al-aqidah. Tawheed, the importance of it is the most important goal.
In the life of a human being.
Now. Singling out Allah and worship. It is the very reason for our being.
Naam.
Why Allah created us, stated in verse 50, Surah 51, verse 56, we didn't create man and jinn but to worship Him.
That's the most important thing. Single out Allah for worship, that's the purpose of our creation. Now, I mean, there are other points. I mean, if somebody wants to add another point, but that's the most important thing. This is the purpose of our creation. This is what Allah created us for. Now,
I say it's the main reason the Rasulun was sent.
The main reason why the messengers were sent. Now.
And the purpose that He has created the Jannah and the Nar for the believers who believe in Him.
Now.
Those who doesn't believe in Him.
Naam, the Jannah and Nar were created for the people who believe, the Jannah for the people who believe and obey Allah and who single Him out with Tawheed, and the Nar, the Hellfire, was created for the people who disbelieve in Allah and who disobey Him and who engage in Shirk. Naam, the very purpose for which the Jannah and Nar were created, and with this in mind, at Tawheed and Shirk. And there are other things, and there are other points, many of them, inshallah. For this introductory class, we sent some notes. So, inshallah, it was easy for you. But it will be difficult for me to do it continuously. Tayyib, question number two. Define as sunnah, as mentioned by Imam Ibn Athir, rahimahullah. As sunnah. Naam, ya Musa.
As sunnah is the origin of the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The origin, the yani linguistic meaning of sunnah is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At-tariqa, naam.
It's also applied, it's the opposite of shirk.
Okay, and from the meanings of it, from the various meanings of sunnah or various usages of it, one of its applications is sunnah is the opposite of what?
Bid'ah.
Sunnah is the opposite of bid'ah, naam. What else? Somebody else. Go ahead.
Sirah,
also from the original linguistic meaning of as sunnah as sirah, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tahir, now.
What he said, what he did, and what he allowed during his time on the earth.
Now, from the meanings of sunnah is what he said and what he did and what he allowed. Now, ya Ismail.
From the statements in the
Statements and actions. Naam. Naam.
Commandments and prohibitions.
That are not in the Quran. Yani, that's part of the Sunnah. What's not in the Quran. Naam. Okay. What, last one. Go ahead.
We say whatever has been reported from his actions, his speech, his moral character, his way he dealt with people.
His actions, speech, his moral character, the way he dealt with people. Naam.
His business dealings and.
Business dealings and so on. Now, that's the more comprehensive definition of the scholars of hadith. In any case, and these are some of the meanings or the usages of the word sunnah. But one that we didn't mention, and that is the meaning of the word sunnah in this subject tonight. The meaning of sunnah is what?
Al-aqidah.
Al-aqidah. The meaning of sunnah is al-aqidah. And that's what the author means when he says in the title of this book, A'lam as-sunnah. Al-Manshura. Sunnah, he means here the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but primarily means Aqidah, because this book is what? The I'tiqad of Al-Ta'ifa Al-Najiyah Al-Mansura. The creed, the Aqidah of the saved group and the supported victorious group that will remain in the earth until Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Tayyib, define al-i'tiqad as mentioned by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Al-i'tiqad. Naam, Sadiq. Sadiq. Sadiq or Sadiq?
Sadiq.
Sadiq, naam.
That which the heart and mind is certain about.
That which the heart and mind is certain about. Naam.
Faith.
Naam, faith. That which the heart and mind is certain about. Naam. You want to add something?
Linguistically, meaning
something that is tied to. Naam, rabt, was shed and tightened. Naam, this is the linguistic meaning. I'tiqad, from the Arabic wazn, the Arabic pattern of words, ifti'al, i'tiqad. Naam, from al-aqt, to tie or to bind something. Naam.
It's creed, it's according to reality, it's according to the haq, and it's true. And it's like the thought of you, of Isa ibn Maryam being son of Allah, you know, that is batil, fasid. It's similar to the definition of aqidah, from unwavering belief.
No. Yani, wa alaykum salam. Al-i'tiqad. This Arabic word is similar to the meaning of aqidah. They're both from the same root. And the main thing that we want to know about it is the i'tiqad is something that he mentioned, is something that the heart is tied to, is fastened to, is cemented to. It can't be separated from it, because the person is certain about it. It's something that you're sure about. But a person might be sure about something that's not in agreement with reality. So that's false aqidah. But if what you are certain about in your heart is in agreement with reality, then that is correct, authentic aqidah. So the aqidah of Islam, the tawheed of Allah, is definitely al-aqidah al-sahiha. And all other i'tiqad of other groups that's contrary to tawheed is false aqidah. Tayyib, question number four. How has Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah explained al-firqa al-najiyah? In brief, al-firqa al-najiyah. Naam. The saved sect,
right.
Out of the 73, from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
and from the most clear adherence to what the Nabi was upon, his aqidah, his creed, and his ibadah.
And adhering to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon in reference to his aqidah, and his ibadah, his worship, and what else?
And his ibadah, his creed.
His akhlaq, his character, his mu'amalat, his business and social dealings. Naam. 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 Somebody want to add something to that?
Type.
Al-firqa al-najiyah. Naam. Go ahead.
I was going to add, the Sheikh also said that shortcomings in these matters does not exclude you. Everyone will reach the degree according to their works, but shortcomings in tawheed can exclude a person or class. Or one who falls in bidah, mukaffara.
Naam.
Bidah that takes them
A type of bid'ah that is kufr. Now it takes a person out of Islam. And the main thing, Shaykh Al-Faymin, rahimahullah, is saying that not every shortcoming in these matters, not every shortcoming takes a person out of the circle of being from the saved group, the saved sect. Yani, but some types of shortcomings would do that, especially in the areas of at-tawheed. Or for example, the person who doesn't have ikhlas in their worship. They're not doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah. Or a person that is engaged in certain types of bid'ah, like he said, bid'ah, the mukaffara, the bid'ah that is kufr. I want to say that al-firqa al-najiyah is based upon this expression or this name or this title is based upon a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is that hadith? He said that the Jews would be divided into 71 sects, and the Christians would be divided into 72 sects. And he said that my ummah would be divided into 73 sects. Kulluha fi an-nar. And all of them will be in the fire, illa wahida, except one. Yani one of them will be saved from the fire. That's the meaning of a firqa an-najiyah. The 73 sects, all of them will be in the fire, except one will be saved from the fire. That's the meaning of firqa an-najiyah. Najiyah means the person who escapes from harm. Yani from najah, idha salima. The person who escaped because he was unharmed. So he escaped. And the meaning of this, najiyah means he escaped in this world because he's upon the sunnah. He escaped from bid'ah. And because he's worshipping Allah alone, in the next life he escaped from the hellfire. That's the meaning of being saved. He's saved from bid'ah in this world and saved from the hellfire in the next life. Tayyib, what is the meaning or discuss Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah's explanation of al-Ta'ifa al-Mansura. Al-Ta'ifa al-Mansura. What do we mean by this? Something about it. Na'am.
This is the group that will adhere to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his way the most.
Group that would adhere mostly to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than others. Now,
this is the group that would uphold the truth and try to strive to implement the most purest way of Islam.
They would uphold the truth and try to implement the most purest manner of Islam. Now, form of Islam.
And the group that Allah will aid.
And Allah will aid them.
And the angels will aid.
And the angels will aid them.
And
the believers will aid them. And even, the perhaps, some jinn might even aid them by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are the people that will be supported. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, لَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الْحَقِّ ظَاهِرِينَ وَمَنْصُورَ. That they will remain a group from amongst my ummah that will be upon the truth, who will be supported, who will be aided, who will be given victory. حَتَّى يَأْتِي أمر الله, until the command of Allah comes. And some of the narrations said, As-sa'a, the hour of judgment, and so on. So there's a group that the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, there will be a group, a ta'ifa. He called it a ta'ifa. And he said there will be mansura, or zahirina, same meaning, that they will be victorious, they will be supported, they will be helped by Allah, and they will be successful in this dunya. Naam. Those who will be supported, naam.
Say that the group is not a certain group, a specific group, the group is unlimited.
No.
It could be anywhere, anytime.
No. Not a certain organization, association, party or something. Rather, there are people that may be any place in the earth at any time in history. If they have this description of being those who are supporting, who are upon the truth, and therefore Allah supports them in some way or another, then this is what we are talking about. No matter what country they're in, or what time period they lived in, or what color they are, what language they speak. Naam. Okay, quickly, mention the author's full name and the era in which he lived, his date of birth and death. His full name and the era in which he lived. Naam, Ismail.
Hafiz.
Ibn Ahmed.
Ibn Muhammad.
Ibn Ali.
Ibn Ali.
Naam.
Ibn Ahmed.
Ibn Ahmed.
Ibn Ali.
Al-Hakami. Al-Hakami, naam. Jayid. So somebody tell me, when was he born? What year? Naam.
1924.
Huh? 1924.
1924.
Muslim calendar. 1342. And what year he died? 1377. How long did he live? 35 years. And 3 months. Subhanallah. Allah yarhamuhu. Tayyib, mention something about the author's early upbringing and studies. Something, one point about his early upbringing and studies. Now, Ismail.
He had a great memory.
Okay, he had a great memory. Okay, memorization. Naam, Abdul Karim.
He was a sheep herder?
Okay, he used to take care of the sheep of his parents, Naam, when he was a little boy. Naam.
He studied the Quran at 12.
He finished memorizing the Quran when he was 12. Naam. When did he begin, though?
7.
When he was 7. Naam. What else?
He completed the tajweed first, then the Quran.
Naam, he completed the proper reading of Quran before he finished the memorization of it. Naam.
Rejected.
Huh?
Yeah, excellent penmanship.
Excellent penmanship, mashallah. Now, Tahir.
Rejected playing with the other kids for the sake of
Allah to study. Yeah, he was engaged in his studies from very, very early age. Now, he wasn't lost in foolishness. If I mentioned the name of the author Sheikh and his relationship to him. The author Sheikh. What was the Sheikh's name? Now, Talib.
Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Hamid.
Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Hamid.
Al-Qara'awi.
Qara'awi. Naam. Rahimahullah. He was a great scholar and a reformer. He did tremendous work. What was his relationship with the Shaykh? What kind of relationship did he have with him?
Student.
Huh? He was a student. Naam. He was a good student. Excellent student. His best student. Naam. What else?
He was also married to his daughter.
He married to his Shaykh's son. A daughter. He married the Shaykh's daughter. Naam. By the way, he had more than one wife. She was one of them. Yeah, one of his sons is a professor now in the university now. In Riyadh.
After the death of his parents, he moved in with the Sheikh and lived with him.
After the death of his parents, he went to the Sheikh. Naam. He stayed with him and stuck with him and studied with him full time. Naam. Anything else? His relationship with the Sheikh. Naam.
The Sheikh had also stated that he has surpassed him in knowledge.
Naam. He said, indeed, he is my student, but he has surpassed me in knowledge. Allahu Akbar. Discuss the author's personality and character and the circumstances of his death. His personality and character. What was his personality and character like? Naam, Ismail.
They said that he was very affectionate and he was very humorous.
Okay, he was humorous. Naam. He used to sometimes joke with his friends and students. Naam. That was what you were going to say? Allahu Akbar. Musa.
He has a great wara.
Wara. Naam. What is wara?
Fear of Allah.
Fear of Allah. Naam. Ahmed.
He showed a lot of generosity.
Haram, Naam, generosity.
And he was an active person. He played sports and he
Naam. He was active, mashallah, intermingling with the people. Naam. But he was most of his time was devoted to studying, wa alaykum salam, and teaching. What about his death? What's the circumstance of his death? Naam. Naam, Qar.
It saddened a lot of people around him.
Saddened a lot of people, everyone, sure, everyone who knew him. Naam. What else do we know about his death? Naam, Sadiq.
He was, he got the...
He was sick, Naam.
Sickness.
Sickness, Naam.
He didn't recover from it.
He caused his death suddenly, Naam, in a short period of time, Naam. Ismail.
He died on the 18th of Dhul-Hijjah, right after Hajj.
Died on the 18th of Dhul-Hijjah. How many days after the Hajj? A few days after Hajj. Hajj is on what? 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th. 5 days after the Hajj. He died in Mecca. He didn't ever get back to his family. He died. He got sick after the Hajj and died immediately. Naam. Allah yarhamhu. Finally, discuss briefly the format and methodology of the author in this book. The format, something about the format and methodology of the author in this book. Anybody know anything about the format of this book that we talked about? Naam, yeah, Ibrahim.
It's a summary with the goal of the salvation of deen.
It's a summary, okay? It's a mukhtasa. It's not a lengthy, detailed book. It's a small book. It's a summary.
And the fundamentals of Tawheed.
Fundamentals of Tawheed, it deals with. The fundamentals of the deen, and especially the fundamentals of Tawheed. Naam. Huh? Yeah, it's in the question and answer format. Question and answer. Question and answer. What else? Importantly, some other important points that we can't leave out. Naam, yeah, Musa.
Refuting those people of Bid'ah, right?
Well, not refuting them. He said that he doesn't mention their views. He doesn't mention their views at all. He just abandoned even representing them. But he said that because many of the scholars have already refuted them, have written detailed books about the refutation of Ahl Bidah. But he doesn't mention their views, he only mentions the correct views of the people of Sunnah. What else?
The madhab of the Ahl Sunnah and the people that follow.
The The madhab is based upon the madhab of Ahl Sunnah. Naam, wal Jama'ah. One more very, very important point that we have to add to this. That for every issue that he mentions the evidence for it. That's critical. How many books do we read? People make statements, they don't bring any evidence. Anyway, these are some of the things that we said about the book. Okay, we're going to stop here and go into the topic for tonight. Topic for tonight is the first question from the section dealing with Iman. The way this book is arranged, it has a number of different sections. The first section is dealing with the first aspect of the Deen of Allah, that is Islam. We're not going to deal with that, okay? The second aspect of the Deen of Allah is what? Al-Iman. That's what we're going to deal with tonight. And the third aspect is Ihsan. And then he also talks about Bid'ah and Ma'asi, sins, major sins, minor sins, magic, and a lot of other things in the rest of the book. But the section we want to deal with is the section dealing with Iman. So tonight we're going to talk about Iman, and perhaps if we reach the question of Iman in Allah. Our topic for this class is Iman, having faith in Allah. But before we talk about faith in Allah, we have to know what is faith, what is Iman? Okay? Somebody want to tell me, what is Iman? In brief, just give me an idea, what is Iman now?
Statement on the tongue.
Action of the body part and belief in the heart. Increase with obedience and decrease with disobedience. Good. Anybody else give me what is the meaning of Iman? What is the meaning of Iman?
Believing in Allah, even though you don't see Him,
believing in Allah, even though you see Him. Mean worshiping Allah as though you see Him, and even if you don't see Him, then know that He sees you. That is the definition that the Prophet ﷺ gave for Ihsan. Ihsan, which is the third level in the levels of deen. The first level is Islam, and the second level is Iman. And the highest level, and the most exclusive level of this deen is Ihsan. Most exclusive. Not everybody is included in that. In any case, we're going to talk about Iman tonight, and we might talk about Iman and Allah if we reach that question. We're going to see how far we can go. But this is the foundation of our topic. That is, what is Iman? The definition of Iman. Now, some of us, we may already have a clue, as we heard from Brother Ismail, mashallah. One of the definitions of Iman, he has given us a good definition of Iman. It's component parts. That it's not just the i'tiqad, or the conviction that's in the heart, but it also includes speech and action. And what we want to know is that even though everybody agrees that Iman is a conviction, or belief, or something that a person has in their heart, that's Iman. But what we want to say is that some of the people from groups of Muslims claimed that Iman is only the conviction that's in the heart, and not more than that. That Iman does not include actions. That Iman does not include speech. And this idea is so serious that it caused people maybe to drop out completely. Because they imagine that if a person has this conviction in their heart, they have Iman, and they have perfect Iman. And it doesn't matter what they do, because actions and speech are not a part of Iman. So it doesn't matter what they say, it doesn't matter what they do, it doesn't affect their Iman. And this is a terrible error. And what we're going to talk about tonight is what's the correct definition of Iman. That is not just conviction in the heart, rather it's also speech and actions. And we want to also talk about this speech and action, how is it applied to the heart, how is it applied to the tongue and the limbs of the body, and so on. And we also want to bring some proofs, a little bit of proofs that the Shaykh brings concerning this correct definition of Iman. And I want to refer you to another book called Shajaratul Iman by Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, the teacher, the main teacher, the primary teacher of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. And his book, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di's book, Shajaratul Iman. The name of the full title of the book, The Tree of Faith, is At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li Shajaratul Iman. The clarification and elucidation of the Tree of Faith. Very, very important book. I wish that we could study that book also. But in any case, I refer you to that book because if you haven't read it, you should read it. He gives a thorough, complete expounding on what is Iman in a simple way that anybody can understand, with proofs and evidences, plenty and plenty of proofs and evidences from the Quran and Sunnah for what we're going to talk about tonight. And after that, he talks about the component, essential elements, building blocks of Iman from Quran and Hadith, authentic Hadith. So you can understand what are the essential parts of Iman, elements of Iman that increase and strengthen Iman. And finally, he talks about the fawaid, or the thamarat of Iman, the fruits and benefits of Iman. If you have Iman and a strong, what benefits will you get from it? That book is tremendous. The Tree of Faith by Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. Okay, so we're going to start with the first question, which is question number 36 in the book. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, ما هو الإيمان? ما هو الإيمان? What is إيمان? What is إيمان? He says, الجواب, الإيمان قول وعمل. الإيمان is قول وعمل. It is speech and it is action. This is based on what? That it's already agreed upon. That conviction in the heart is part of Iman. Everybody would agree on that. But this is what they differ about. So that's why he's emphasizing this. Not that he's saying it doesn't include something in the heart. No, he's not saying that. He's saying that this is the point that the people differ about. So this is what we want to deal with. That Iman is qawlun wa amalun. Speech and action. And then he begins to clarify in more detail what he means by speech and action. He says, qawlul qalb. Speech of the heart. Wal-lisan, and the tongue. Speech of the heart and speech of the tongue. وَعَمَلُ الْقَلْبِ وَاللِّسَانِ وَالْجَوَارِ. And the action from these two parts of Iman, the speech and action, he said the action is action of the heart, an action of the tongue, an action of the limbs of the body parts, the physical parts of the body, the things that you do physically. So he said that Iman is what? Speech and action. What kind of speech? Speech of the heart and speech of the tongue. And it's action. What kind of action? Action of the heart. An action of the tongue. An action of the limbs of the body. And then he says, يَزِيدُ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَيَنْقُصْ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ. And that this iman increases with ta'ah, with acts of obedience. Person, the more you do acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more your iman increases and strengthens. And it decreases with ma'asiyah, with disobedience. Doing things that are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, how do you increase iman? How do you strengthen iman? By doing acts of obedience to Allah. By obeying Allah. Anything that He commanded you to do, whatever it is, do it. Whether it's action, speech, or whatever. Whether it's something in the heart, whatever. Whatever Allah has ordered you to do it. This increases iman and strengthens your iman. What happens to your iman? How does it go, iman, how does it go down and decrease and get weak? And maybe die and take you out of Islam? Disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time Shaitan whispers to you to do an act of disobedience, remember that this will decrease my iman. This will cause my iman to become defective. This could kill you, could take you out of here. Depending on what kind of disobedience you do and how much you do it, how often you are in doing it, you can destroy yourself. And finally he says, وَيَتَفَاضَلُ أَهْلُهُ فِيهِ وَيَتَفَاضَلُ أَهْلُهُ فِيهِ. That this iman, the people of iman, the mu'minun, they differ. يَتَفَاضَلُ أَهْلُهُ. The people of Iman differ, the mu'mini, they differ in terms of the perfection or completion or the level of their Iman, the superiority of some of them over others. They are not all the same. Everybody who has Iman, they are all equal. No. يَتَفَاضَلُ أَهْلُهُ فِيهِ. Yani in this Iman, the people differ, they vary in the completeness and perfection of their Iman, the superiority of one person's Iman over another. Naam. So this is the definition that Shaykh has given. If we understand this, then even if we don't do another question, we'll be good tonight. Al-Iman is speech and action. Naam. What kind of speech? Speech of the heart. Naam. What is the speech of the heart? We'll talk about it, inshallah. And speech of the tongue. That's a little bit more clear, right? Speech of the heart and speech of the tongue. And it's action. What kind of action? Action of the heart. What do we mean by action of the heart? What does that mean? We'll talk about it. An action of the tongue. An action of the limbs of the body. It increases with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it decreases through disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people of Iman differ, they vary in terms of the level of the Iman, the completeness, the perfection, the superiority of some of them over others in Iman. There's much to say about this. I'm going to try, inshallah, to read some notes from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen in his explanation of this very same definition, but this definition as it was given by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah. Yani the Shaykh Hafiz al-Hakami rahimahullah took this definition from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, his explanation of Aqidah al-Wasatiyah, talks about this very same definition in detail. The Shaykh here, he doesn't talk about it in detail. He talks about some of the proofs for it, but he doesn't go into explain all the meanings of it. So we want to try to go back, inshallah, if we have time, to what Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said about this in some detail. Somebody reminds me, inshallah. But let me just say this though, before, in case we don't get back to it. The speech and action that is Iman, speech of the heart and speech of the tongue. By speech of the heart, many of the scholars, including Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he said that speech of the heart is i'tiraf, or iqrar, or tasdiq of the heart. Yani the confession of the heart. The heart confessing, acknowledging. Acknowledging what? Acknowledging la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Acknowledging what the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, when he was asked in the hadith of Jibreel, what is Islam, what is Iman, and what is Ihsan? He said, what is Islam? He said, an tu'min billahi. To believe in Allah, وملائكته وكتبه ورسله ويوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره. And in some of the narrative said, and he repeated, وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. He repeated to believe. Okay? So what is this confession, or this acknowledgement, or this tasdeeq, confirming or affirming or agreeing with the truthfulness of it? It is the confession or the acknowledgement of Iman in Allah and the angels and the revelations and the messengers and the judgment day and the divine decree, the good and the evil of it. This confession to this acknowledgement of it, this, the sheikhs, the scholars of the Sunnah said, this is the speech of the heart, that the heart confesses to this truth, to the truthfulness of what? Of la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, or believing in Allah and the angels and the prophets and so on. And what is the action of the heart? Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, it is taharrukuhu, yani the movement of the heart, the irada, the will of the heart to do something. For example, when a person does a deed and they do it with ikhlas, that ikhlas is the activity of the heart, the sincerity of the person in their heart of doing this for the sake of Allah alone. This is action of the heart. Yani the speech of the heart is what? The confession, the acknowledgement of la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, shahadatain, and the things, the fundamentals of what Muslims believe in. This confession, this acknowledgement in the heart is the speech of the heart. And the action of the heart is the activity of the heart, the movement of the heart. Yani like what? Like ikhlas. Or like what? Like a tawakkul, reliance, dependence on Allah. That's in the heart. Okay, that's activity of the heart, that's action of the heart. Tawakkul, khawf, fear, mahabba, love. All of this, these are actions of the heart. These are actions of the heart. And this is something that we ought to read about. We ought to read a book about the actions of the heart. So we can know how can we make our heart be active in doing the right things. Those actions of the heart is part of Iman. So if those actions of the heart is what increase Iman and strengthen Iman. Just like the speech of the heart is part of Iman. That increases Iman. And the speech of the tongue and the action of the tongue also. Speech of the tongue, the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he said, the speech of the tongue is the pronouncing of, for example, the shahadatain. The actual sound when a person pronounces the shahada, saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an Muhammad Rasulullah. That's the speech of the tongue. The sound that you hear. The action of the tongue is the movement. The physical movement of the tongue. Tongue has to move in order to make a sound, right? The movement of the tongue is the action of the tongue. The sound that you hear is the speech of the tongue. As far as the actions of the limbs, that's easy. We know what that is, right? Bowing, standing, prostrating, salat, hajj, things like this. Anyway, inshallah, if we have a chance to read it in detail. But just in case we don't get back to it, I wanted to mention that. Question number 2, or I should say question 37, our second question. ما الدليل على قونه قولا وعملا? What is the dalil, the evidence that Iman is speech and action? What's the evidence for this? Okay, the Shaykh, he said that it's speech and action, right? That's a claim. What's the proof? If we say that Iman is speech and action, what's your proof for it? Do you have any proof for that? Or is it just making it up? Like the other people say something else, and they don't have no proof for it, so maybe you don't have any proof either. So you gotta have some proof. Huh? What is the dalil that Iman is speech and action? Alaykum salam. The Shaykh, the first dalil that he gives is a little bit difficult. I must admit that I couldn't get it. I had to read it again and again and again. Now, what is the dalil? The first dalil, the Shaykh, by the way, the Shaykh gives a number of evidences for this point. Okay? Huh? The tendency? The Shaykh gives 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 evidences for this. And this might be the last question we take tonight. Because we need to have the dalil, right? That's very important. What is the dalil? Okay, the first dalil the Shaykh he gives is from Surah Al-Hujurat, 49, Surah 7th ayah. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. That's what he says. That he just quotes that part of the ayah. But we're going to take it a little bit further, right? وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانِ. But Allah, He has made iman endeared to you, beloved to you. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And He has beautified it in your hearts. Iman where? In your hearts. Naam. وَقَرَّحَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِسْيَانِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. Now the reason why I want to quote the rest of the ayat, even though the Shaykh only quoted the first part, is because the rest of the ayat is what makes clear how he used this as evidence. That part alone, I was puzzled to understand, how is that a proof? Where does that mention speech or action as a part of iman? I couldn't figure it out. But the rest of the ayat makes it clear. Okay, the Shaykh said, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Okay, so, but Allah has made iman beloved to you, endeared to you, and He has beautified it in your hearts. So we know it's talking about iman, and we know it's in the heart, right? But what about the speech and the action? Then the Shaykh, then the ayah goes on to say, Allah says, وَقَرَّحَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرُ. And Allah has made detestable, hated to you, kufr, disbelief. والفسوق, wickedness. والعصيان, and disobedience. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. These, that Allah is talking about this ayah, who He made iman beloved to them, and He made kufr and fusuq and isyan detestable to them, these are those who are rightly guided. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir in his tafsir of the Qur'an, and Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, also in his tafsir of the Qur'an, says that al-fusuq is al-dhunub al-kibar. Al-fusuq is al-dhunub al-kibar, the major sins. And al-isyan is ma duna dhalika min al-dhunub, whatever is less than that from the sins. So this makes us to know that there's a difference between fusuq and isyan. They are different, they are not the same. Even though sometimes they might be translated in a way to make it sound like they're the same. But here Allah mentions them as separate things. He mentions what? Al-kufr, disbelief, and al-fusuq, which is wickedness, major sins, but it's not kufr. Okay, because Allah is distinguishing between these three things. Kufr, those acts of disobedience that are kufr, that are out of Islam. And then there's another type of disobedience that's major sins, but it's not kufr. And that is al-fusuq. And then there's another type of disobedience that's not kufr, and it's not from the major sins. And that is al-isyan. If we analyze this carefully, as some of the scholars have done, then we'll see now how this is a proof that iman includes speech and action. Naam. Okay? On the one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned iman by itself, that He has made iman beloved to you. He didn't divide it into categories. Because iman represents obedience to Allah. Represents all types of obedience to Allah. Major acts of obedience, minor acts of obedience, any kind of acts of obedience, everything. All obedience is iman. But as far as disobedience, He has divided into three types of things. The kufr, and then the other disobedience that's not kufr. Major sins. And then other disobedience that's not major sins, minor sins. But Allah has caused you to hate all of that. Allah hates all of that for the believers. But as far as iman, He didn't divide it into that which is a part of iman, and other things that are not a part of iman, and things that are major obedience and minor obedience. He just made it all iman. Which makes us to know what? That every act of obedience, whether it's major or minor, all of it is a part of iman. Because He only made iman just one thing, one category. But as far as disobedience, He made it that disobedience which takes you out of Islam, that's kufr. And that disobedience that doesn't take you out of Islam, but it's major. And another type of disobedience that doesn't take you out of Islam and it's not major, but it's minor. So He divided them into different types of things. But they're all disobedience. Well, all obedience comes under iman. And it's not divided into different types. Some type of obedience that's a part of iman, and another type of obedience that's not a part of iman. Rather, all obedience is a part of iman. Whether speech or action, major or minor. Everything that's obedience to Allah is a part of iman. Okay, to prove this, I mean not to prove it, but like I didn't make this up myself. You know, one of the great scholars of Islam, Al-Imam Al-Hafidh Al-Allama, Muhammad ibn Nasr Al-Marwazi, who was a great imam, a scholar of the people of Sunnah, died in the year 238 after the Hijrah. Yani in the first half of the third century, 238 238 in the 3rd century, but the first half of the 3rd century. So that means he's early, came early on. Jazakallah khair. I'm afraid of this, I hope it doesn't spill. I'm going to put it over here so it's my knowledge. Jazakallah khair. Okay, so the first thing we want to say what? Is that the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah has made beloved to you al-Iman, and He has beautified it in your hearts, and He has made detestable to you kufr and fusuq and isyan. This is the proof that Iman is from the actions of the heart, and it is also from the speech of the heart. Yani whatever is in the heart, because He said it's in the heart, He beautified it in your heart, right? He said whatever is in the heart, whether speech or action, all of it is a part of Iman. The author, Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, he has mentioned that Iman includes speech of the heart and speech of the tongue, and action of the heart and action of the tongue and the limbs of the body. And this is indicated or pointed to in this ayat, that Iman includes all ta'at, all acts of obedience. Because he didn't divide into different things. That's a part of Iman, not a part of Iman. But rather, every type of obedience to Allah is a part of Iman. Al-Imam, Al-Hafiz al-Alama Muhammad ibn Nasr al-Marwazi, he said that لَمَّا كَانَتْ الْمَعَاسِي بَعْدُهَا كُفْرٌ وَبَعْدُهَا لَيْسَ بِكُفْرٌ. Yani, when we see that sins, acts of disobedience, some of it is kufr and some of it is not kufr. فَرَّقَ بَيْنَهَا. So Allah, He did this distinguished, differentiated between the different types of kufr. Different types of disobedience, that which is kufr and that which is not kufr. فَجَعَلَهَا ثَلَاثَةَ أَنْوَى. So He made it into three types. Some of it is from kufr, and some of it, one part of it is from kufr, and the other part is, other two parts is not from kufr. One part that's kufr, and one part that's fusuq, major sins, and one part that is isyan, that is, whatever is less than the major sins. And that isyan is neither kufr, nor is it from the major sins. وَأَكْبَرَ أَنُّهُ كَرِهَهَا كُلَّهَا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And Allah informs us in this ayah that He may, all of it is detestable. All of it is detestable for the believers. All of these different types of disobedience, whether kufr or not. وَلَمَّا كَانَتْ الطَّاعَةُ كُلُّهَا دَاخِلَ فِي الْإِيمَانِ وَلَيْسَ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ خَارِجْ عَنْهُ لَمْ يُفَرِّقْ بَيْنَهَا فَيَقُولُ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْفَرَائِدِ وسائر الطاعات بل أجمل ذلك فقال حبب إليكم الإيمان فقط فدخل في ذلك جميع الطاعات. يعني the Imam, he says, he has divided the disobedience into three types. One part is kufr, one part that's major sins, and one part that's less than that. And then he informs us that all of this is dislike for the believers. But as far as ta'at, he said, since all of it is entered into, is a part of Iman, none of it is outside of Iman, and there's nothing of it that we can say is not a part of Iman, so he did not differentiate between the different types of obedience. He did not say that I have made endeared to you or beloved to you Iman as one type, something that's a part of Iman, like he did kufr, and then that which is not a part of kufr. He didn't say, I have made beloved to Iman, whatever is a part of Iman, and al-fara'id, yani major acts of obedience that are not a part of Iman, and the rest of the things that are less than that. He didn't differentiate it like that. He didn't say that there's some acts of obedience that are Iman, and others that are not Iman. They are major good deeds, but they are not a part of Iman. And then there are others, the rest of the things that are not the major good deeds, but they're less than that, but they're also acts of obedience, and they are not a part of it. He didn't say that. Rather, he has bring it all together. And he said, I have made beloved to you al-Iman. All of it, everything that is from obedience to Allah. So we know from this then, that every act of obedience then, all of it is a part of Iman. And Allah knows best. So the Shaykh has used this ayat in a very beautiful way that, subhanAllah, I mean, to me is amazing. And if you consider he wrote this book, how old was he? He was young. It wasn't his first book, but he was very young when he wrote it. Tayyib. This is the first proof that the Shaykh mentions, rahimahullah. And that Allah has made beloved to Iman. And he means by that, every act of obedience, including speech and action and so on. Second evidence that the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 158th Ayat. He just quotes a part of the ayat. It's a long ayat. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ That's what he says. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Therefore, believe in Allah and His Messenger. Therefore, believe in Allah and His Messenger. Okay? This ayat, actually, if you look at it, it's a long ayat. I'll just read a little bit of it to put it into context. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا Saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, O people, verily I am the messenger of Allah to all of you, to the whole of humanity. Of Allah, I am the messenger of Allah. الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ Allah who what? Who to Him belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. There is nothing that deserves to be worshipped besides Him. He is the one who gives life and He is the one who gives death. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Therefore, believe in Allah and His Messenger. This is the context of the ayah. That I am the Messenger of Allah to all of you, the one who has the dominion, the control, the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth, of everything in the heavens and the earth. He is the one that nothing deserves to be worshipped besides Him. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who gives death. Therefore, believe in Him and believe in His Messenger. Because I am the Messenger of Allah to you. So believe in Allah and believe in His Messenger. This ayah, the Shaykh says about it, وَهَذَا مَعْنَى الشَّهَادَتَيْنِ And this, what is contained in this ayah, believe in Allah and His Messenger, this is the meaning of the two shahadas. The two shahadas, the two testimonies, right? Shahadatain. Shahadatain is dual, right? Muthanna. Shahada, shahadatain. Two shahadas. One of them is the shahada of what? La ilaha illallah. The other one is the shahada of what? Muhammad Rasulullah. He said this, in this ayah, it contains the meaning of the shahadatain. Allatani la yadkhul al-abdu fi ad-din illa bihima. Yani this shahadatain, these two testimonies, that no person can enter into the deen of Allah except with these two statements. These two testimonies, these two confessions. Nobody can enter into the deen of Allah except by these two testimonies. One of them is taking you nowhere. Taking you nowhere. Wa hiya min amal al-qalb i'tiqadan wa min amal al-lisan nutqan. لا تنفع إلا بتواطعهما That these two testimonies, what? The shahadatain, it is from the actions of the heart, اعتقادًا. يعني in terms of what? اعتقاد. As an اعتقاد, something that a person has, يعني ties their heart to, huh? As a, something that a person ties their heart to, believes in sincerely, this is from the actions of the heart. It's from the actions of the heart. For the heart to confess it, to acknowledge it, is from the speech of the heart. But to actually believe in it, to tie, to attach one's heart to it, to fasten one's heart to it, that's an action. That's from the action of the heart. And it is from the action of the tongue, nutqan. Yani the pronunciation of these words, yani believing in Allah and His Messenger, this is from the actions of the tongue in terms of speech. And there's no benefit. No, you will not benefit whatsoever unless the two of them, that which is in the heart and that which is upon the tongue, are in agreement. Unless they're in agreement. Okay, we could go into the detail of that, but we don't have time to. Because it might be a person, right, who has it in his heart, but he doesn't say it. You have to say it. You have to say it. You have to make shahada. You have to testify. You can't just keep it in your heart. And there's a person who says it, who pronounces the words, but it's not in his heart. And that's not sufficient either. Rather, you have to have it in your heart and you have to pronounce this in order to enter into Islam. Unless the person can't speak, they can't talk, they have some defect. That's different. If you can talk, you have to say it. Naam. Okay, now the Shaykh goes to the third evidence. Naam. From Surah Al-Baqarah. From Surah Al-Baqarah. I don't know if I mentioned the last ayat. It's from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 158th ayat. And this third evidence, out of the five proofs that the Shaykh brings, I think there are five, the third evidence is from Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 143rd ayat. The Shaykh, he says, concerning this ayat, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ And Allah was not going to cause your iman to be lost, to be wasted, to be futile. Allah would not do so. And again, I want to read the context of the ayat so it's a little bit more clear. Okay, it's a long ayat, but I'll read part of it, where Allah first mentions that He made this ummah as the middle nation, the moderate nation, the just nation, so that they will be a witness against the people and that the Messenger will be a witness against you, yani this nation. And then Allah says in this ayat, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولَ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَى عَقِبَيْهِ. Okay, and this is the context that the ayah came in, that Allah has not made this qibla that you are facing except as a test to make clear, to manifest, to make known, to bring out those who would follow the Messenger from those who would turn back on their heels. The people in the beginning of the mission of the Prophet were praying to what qibla? Jerusalem. And then Allah changed it. He did that to test the people. He had them praying to Jerusalem, and then He changed it to the place where it was going to be. That is to Mecca. And some people couldn't deal with it. They said, wait a minute. We pray here, now we're praying here. So the true believers, they followed the Messenger. The Messenger said, we're turning this way, we're turning this way. In fact, it's reported in authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim that a group of people who came to know later, the following day in the morning in the Fajr prayer, that the Qibla had been changed, they were in a Masjid Quba. Some people, if they go to Medina, they think it's Masjid Qiblatain, the masjid that's named after the two Qiblas. But it's not Qiblatain, it's Masjid Quba. And that masjid, the people were praying there. And somebody came in and said, the Qibla has been changed. And the people were in the Fajr prayer and they turned around and prayed in the opposite direction. That hadith in Sahih Muslim. Now, there wasn't Masjid Qiblatain, the masjid of two Qiblas, Masjid Quba. It was a very important masjid if a person goes to make Hajj or Umrah. If you go to Medina, go to Masjid Quba. The Prophet ﷺ have mentioned virtues of this masjid. Taif. Now, so this is the context in the changing of the Qibla. And Allah mentions, وَإِن كَانَتْ لَكَبِيرَةً إِلَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ, that this is something that's very difficult. The changing of the Qibla was difficult except for those who Allah guided them. Except for those who Allah guided them. Other people, they went astray. He couldn't deal with it. In that context, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the same ayat, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, that Allah was not going to cause your iman to be lost. Indeed, Allah is full of kindness and mercy to the people. He was not going to cause your iman to be lost. What does the iman got to do with the changing of the Qibla? Now,
they didn't want this law to be lost.
Because here, iman, in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He will not cause your iman to be lost. It means your salat. Because some of the people, when the Qibla was changed, they said, well, what about the people who was with us, who died? And they prayed all their prayers to the wrong place. And Allah said, He will not cause your iman to be lost, your salat to be lost. Now, iman here, it means salat. And this is an important proof of what? That iman is his actions and speech. Naam, this is important, very, very important proof. If you read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir or any of the famous tafsirs of the scholars of Sunnah, you'll see this discussion brought out very beautifully. But we don't have time to go into the details. The Shaykh merely says that Allah will not cause your iman to be lost. Ya'ni salatakum ila bayt al-maqdis qabla tahwil al-qibla. That He will not cause your salat to be lost, to be futile. The salat that you prayed towards Bayt al-Maqdis, towards Jerusalem, before the converting or changing of the Qibla. And those salat that were made towards Jerusalem, it's not lost. Allah will not cause that to be lost. Because whoever was praying towards that Qibla at that time, they were in obedience to Allah and the Messenger, right? So that's iman. So it can't be lost. And then when He changed it, whoever prays towards this way, that's obedience to Allah and His Messenger. So that's also iman. Now, so the Shaykh says, in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named the salat, all of it. He has called it iman. And the salat is a collection or gathering together, li'amal al-qalb wal-lisan wal-jawari, for the actions of the heart and the actions of the tongue and the action of the limbs of the body. In the salat, right? There's action of the heart, right? Khushu', okay, what else? Most important action of the heart in salah is what? Ikhlas. That's the most important. Ikhlas is useless. All kind of movements, perfectly, it doesn't matter. no benefit if it is not ikhlas, right? And then there's speech on the tongue, right? There's dhikr, dua, tilawatul Quran, right? And then there's actions of the limbs of the body, bowing, standing, sitting, prostrating. So it's clear that this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayah calling the salat iman, is a perfect proof that iman is not just conviction in the heart, rather speech. And it's also actions. Actions of the heart, actions of the tongue, actions of the limbs of the body. Then the shaykh, can somebody give me verse volume of Sahih Bukhari? Then the shaykh says, وَجَعَلَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ and the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And this is another proof that the shaykh mentions in passing, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has declared, oh, is there a better one than that? Allahumma musta'an. Does it have an index in it? Does it have an index in it? Look in the front. See if it has an index of the chapters. Then he says, the shaykh says, وَجَعَلَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Well, give me an Arabic edition then, if it's not in it. Give me Arabic. Yeah, yeah, give me Fath al-Bari, the first volume. Fath al-Bari. Is there an index in here? Okay. He said that then the Prophet ﷺ has made jihad and standing in the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, and fasting the month of Ramadan, and standing in the nights in the month of, in the nights of Ramadan, and fulfilling the khumus, yani a fifth from the spoils of war. He has made this and other than that to be a part of iman. The Prophet ﷺ said that all of these things are part of iman. Jihad, Qiyam Laylatul Qadr, Siyam Ramadan, standing in Ramadan, and the fulfillment of the Khumus. He said that the Prophet ﷺ declared all of these things to be iman. So if the Prophet ﷺ said that Salat is iman, and Siyam is iman, and Jihad is iman, and given the Khumus, yani making sure that a fifth of the spoils of war is divided properly, one fifth is given for Allah and His Messenger, and the rest is given to the people who fought in the war, all of this is a part of iman. And the reason why I asked for this, because I just wanted to read, the Shaykh, he mentions here just a couple of points. A couple of points of some of these things that are iman. But everybody knows the yani authenticity of Sahih al-Bukhari. And basically Muslims all over the world, they consider it to be a very important book. And Bukhari, in the beginning of the first volume of Bukhari, has Kitab, Bada al-Wahi, the beginning of Revelation. But I don't see the index in here, probably it's in the back. Yeah, it's in the back. And the second chapter of the first volume of Sahih Bukhari, the second chapter is what? Kitab al-Iman. The second chapter of Sahih al-Bukhari is Kitab al-Iman. First chapter is what? The beginning of Revelation. And then after he jumped into what? Iman. Look at Imam Bukhari and note, the titles of the chapters in Sahih al-Bukhari are from Imam Bukhari. From the fiqh of Imam Bukhari. They said that Imam Bukhari is an Imam of Hadith and he's also an Imam of fiqh. Even though most people don't even think about Imam Bukhari, Imam of fiqh, right? When you think about fiqh, you think of who? Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, Al-Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmed, Imam Bukhari. The fiqh of Imam Bukhari is in the title headings of his chapters. As far as Sahih Muslim, Imam Muslim didn't make chapter headings for his book. But the people who explained his book after him, they made the chapter headings. That's why if you read different editions of, yani the Arabic editions of Sahih Muslim, you'll find different chapter headings. Not the same. Imam Nawawi made his chapter headings. Qadi Iyad made his chapter headings. Other scholars made their chapter headings. But these chapter headings of Sahih Bukhari is from Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari, he says here, Kitab al-Iman. And from amongst the chapters here, right? He said, "Min al-iman and yuhibbu li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi." The part of iman is loving for your brother what you love for yourself. Loving for your brother what you love for yourself. That's iman. Naam. Hubb al-rasul, loving the messenger. Min al-iman, it's part of iman. Hubb al-ansar is from iman. He also has a chapter here which we're going to come to inshallah, Tafadil Ahl al-Iman fi al-A'mal, yani the various degrees or excellence and superiority of the people of Iman in their deeds, some of them being superior to others. We talked about that in the definition of Iman. He says, Al-Haya'u min al-Iman, that modesty is a part of Iman. And he also mentions here what? Qiyamul Laylatul Qadr. Yani standing the night of Qadr is from Iman, and Jihad is from Iman. These are Imam Bukhari's titles. He said, voluntary standing in Ramadan is a part of Iman. Fasting Ramadan with Ihtisab is from Iman. As-salat min al-Iman. Naam. And so on. And then he has a chapter, Ziyadat al-Iman wa Nuqsanuhu. Yani the increase of Iman and its decrease. These points that we're going to talk about, some of them, or some of them we may have already talked about, Imam Bukhari, this is how he wrote his book. When he collected those hadith, he collected hadith for these points that we are trying to discuss tonight, in the definition of Iman. So if somebody says, well, who's this Imam Hakimi? We don't even know him. You heard of Bukhari? Open up Bukhari. If you never heard of this great Imam, Al-Hakimi, Rahimahullah. Now, okay, so then finally, after that, the Shaykh, he mentions his last proof concerning that speech and action is part of Iman. He says, سُئِلَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَمْ أَيَّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَفْضَلُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked, which of the deeds is best? Which of deeds? أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ عَمَل. Which of deeds is best? Imagine what he might say, Salat, Zakat, Siyam. You think of deeds like Hajj and stuff, right? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, which deeds is best? Iman billahi wa rasulihi. Which of deeds is best? Actions. Which action is best? Iman. Having Iman in Allah and His Messenger. So whoever says the action is not part of Iman, they are confused. Absolutely, for sure. Believing in Allah and His Messenger, this is the action. If it is confession and acknowledgement, then it's speech of the heart. And if it is i'tiqad, yani actually holding fast to it, tightening one's heart to it, then this is action. Actions of the heart. Tayyib. Now, time is going. Okay, the next question is quite lengthy. And inshallah, we're going to try to cover it. Inshallah, we're going to try to cover it. The next question is, ما الدليل على زيادة الإيمان ونقصانه؟ ما الدليل على زيادة الإيمان ونقصانه؟ What is the evidence of your claim that there is such a thing as increasing Iman and decreasing Iman? We just read a chapter heading from Bukhari like that, if you heard it. Huh? نعم يزيد بالطاعة نعم it increases obedience نعم. So, the Shaykh here is saying, what's your proof? In his definition, he said that Iman is speech and action, right? So now he gave a proof, that proved that Iman is speech and action. We discussed that. Five different types of evidences he brought. From the Quran, from Hadith, and so on. Now, second part of this definition, that Iman increases and decreases. It increases with obedience to Allah and decreases with disobedience to Allah. Now he said, okay, so what's your proof for that? He also said that the people of Iman differ, right? Some of them are superior than others. And he's also going to say, what's your proof for that? Because whatever he says, he brings the proof for it. And this is the manhaj of the people of Sunnah. That if you make a claim about the deen of Allah, you got to bring proof. You can't just make claims. You can't talk loud, talk tough, speak over other people, talk fast so nobody else can get a word in. That don't work here. We want some dalil. If you make a claim, have your dalil. If you don't have dalil, don't make the claim. Sometimes if I can't remember the dalil, I don't say nothing. Sometimes I think about it, I can't remember the evidence. Just be quiet. Because people may challenge you, actually did the deal, and then you'd be suckered. Shut up. Can't talk. So what's the delay on the increase of Iman and the decrease of Iman? The Shaykh mentioned a number of ayats. And usually those ayats he mentions in brief. Okay, we're going to try to put some of them in context. The first ayat he mentions is Surah Al-Fat, 48th Surah, 4th ayat. He says what? لِيَزْدَادُ إِمَانًا مَعْ إِمَانِهِمْ. So that they may liyazdadu imanan, they may be increased in iman, ma imanihim, along with the iman that they already have. This is a clear proof right here. This is indisputable. That they may be increased in iman, ma imanihim. They already have iman, and they're gonna get some more iman, increase upon that iman. The ayat, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هو الذي, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين. He is the one who has sent down the sakina, peace and tranquility, upon the hearts of the believers. Upon what? The hearts, qulub. He is the one who sent down the sakina, the hearts of the believers, the mu'mineen. Look at the words that Allah used. Qulub, hearts, mu'mineen, iman, right? This is important. If you think about the ayahs of the Quran, Allah doesn't just use any word. But He is the one who sent a sakina, ala qulub al-mu'mineen. The hearts of the people of iman. Liyazdadu. He sent down the sakina to the hearts for what? Liyazdadu imana ma imanihim. So that their iman that they have will be increased with more iman. Allahu Akbar. The Shaykh, he mentioned another ayat from Surah Al-Kahf. Some of these ayats are not as clear, but they are clear proofs, but they're not as crystal clear as some others. Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 13th ayat. The Shaykh says, Wazidnahum. He mentions this ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wazidnahum huda. And we increase them in huda, guidance. And this is talking about what? We narrate the story of the youth, the people who were in the cave. Yani, they were young people who what? Fityatun amanu bi rabbihim. They were a group, they were young people in the cave, who what? Amanu bi rabbihim. They believed in their Rabb. Wazidnahum huda. And we increased them in more guidance. Guidance is from iman. Naam. Guidance, huda, if anybody reads the book of Shaykh Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, that we have in the back there, The Fundamentals of Iman, one of the books that we gave to the top people who had the best attendance, he talks about it in there. All the things that are part of Iman. It's an excellent, excellent, excellent book. It's one of the books that some of the brothers were here in Fajr, when we read the book together, in Fajr, after Ramadan. That was one of the books that we read. Subhanallah. So we increased them in guidance. Next ayat, Surah to Maryam, 19th Surah, 76th ayat. وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اِهْتَدَوْا هُدَى. So, Allah will give increase. Allah increases those who have been guided, who have accepted guidance. He will give them increase and more guidance. He will give them more guidance. In Surah Muhammad, 47th Surah, 17th Ayat. وَالَّذِينَ اِهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدَى. And those who accepted the guidance, who upon guidance, Zadahum. He gave them increase in huda, more guidance. Naam, more iman. And then he mentions a couple more ayats. Yani Surah Al-Muddathir, 74th, Surah 31st ayat, a long ayat. But the Shaykh just mentions this part of it. Wayazdada alladhina amanu imana. Wayazdada alladhina amanu imana. And so that those who believe will be increased in iman. Those who believe will get more iman, increase in iman. And Surah Al-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 124th Ayat. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِمَانًا. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So as for those who believe, فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِمَانًا. So it increased them in more iman. This is in reference to what? What increased them in more iman? The revelation of surah from the Quran. Allah meant, naam. 9th surah, 124th ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this surah, in this ayat, وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ. When a surah is revealed, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ. Some of them would say, أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتُمْ هَذِهِ إِمَانًا. Which one of you was increased by that, the revelation of a new surah? Which one of you is increased by that in iman? Was anybody increased in iman by that? Allah says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِمَانًا. As for those who believe, naam, that the revelation of a surah increased them in iman. وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. And they are rejoicing at it. The believers, the people who believe. The revelation of a surah increased them in iman. No surah will be revealed now. But the reading of an ayah from the Quran, a surah from the Quran, increased the belief in iman. Naam. This increase in iman by what? Reading Quran is increase in iman. If a person reads it, believing in it, that this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this increased you in iman. We wasn't there when it was revealed, but we can read it right now. And it increased you in iman. If you believe it, when you read the Quran, it increased you in iman. That's a fact. That's a fact. Naam. And you will rejoice over it. Sometimes you read something in the Quran, it just lightens your heart. You just feel good. Even you in this misery, in this insane asylum, But when you read the Quran, it takes you to another plane. It's like you're not even here. Wallahi. Some of our brothers right now, they're reading the Quran and it is enlightening their heart and lifting their spirit, and they're in prison. Naam. But the Quran gives them consolation and comfort. So what about us? What's our excuse? They're in prison, or they're abused, or they're in whatever condition, but they are reading the Quran, and it's uplifting their hearts. What about us then? How can we not be uplifted? And we're not even subjected to that. We need to open the Quran and read it with iman, yani believing in it, that is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh, he also mentioned from Surah Ali Imran, third surah, 173rd ayat, he says, فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Therefore fear them. But this increased them in iman. What do you mean, therefore fear them? Okay, if we go back to the beginning of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمْعُوا لَكُمْ. That those, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمْ, those who it was said to them, the people said to them, قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ, they are the believers. And the people, the hypocrites, said to the believers, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ, the nas means the hypocrites, said to the believers, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمْعُوا لَكُمْ. إِنَّ النَّاسَ, the mushrikeen, they have come together. The confederates, the ahzab, they have come together to attack you. The hypocrites said to the believers, they all gathered together, y'all done, or we done. But they ain't not, we're not, they're not really a part of us, but they're saying, y'all done. They got together to get y'all. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ, the munafiq said to them, إِنَّ النَّاسَ, meaning the mushrikeen, قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ, they have gathered together a great army against you. فَخْشَوْهُمْ, therefore, fear them. Fear them, their great army. That's what the hypocrites said to the believers. But what Allah said, فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا, but it increased them in iman. Didn't make them fear, it increased them in iman. نعم. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. This is the believers. They said, a great army came against you? Fear them. It has increased them in iman. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. That's what Ibrahim said when he threw him in the fire, right? حَسْبِ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah is sufficient for me. And He is the best wakil. The wakil is what? The one who has the your affairs in his hand, taking care of it. Dispose of your affairs. نِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ. Allah is sufficient for us. نَعْمُ. Don't worry about some army. And finally, the Shaykh mentions, and there's more to this, but anyway, we're going to have to stop. From, I think, Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, 22nd Ayat. The Shaykh says, وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. And it didn't increase them except in more iman and acceptance, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that? وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ. When the mu'minuna, the people of iman, when they saw the confederates, those armies, the whole Arabian Peninsula gathering up, everybody, every kind of kafir, all came together. Communists, atheists, Buddhists, anything, whatever was there, they all came together. Let's get these people out of here, wipe them out. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. They said, this is what Allah and His Messenger promised us. This is what we were told that they were going to do. We're not surprised at this. وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And Allah and His Messenger have told the truth. Naam, that's a fact. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. And it didn't increase them in anything except more iman and acceptance and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submissiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh also brings a hadith here, and there are some more hadith, but for the sake of time, I think we better stop here, because we don't want to burden anyone. Inshallah, we're going to stop here, and we'll take the hadith that the Shaykh has mentioned, and another hadith that we're going to add to it, and some other points concerning the increase of iman, inshallah, in the next class. And then we'll go on to the next questions. Naam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك